Harry Cooper and yours truly, as we are doing some really unique and precedent-setting work in looking at four key Third Reich or Reich hotels from South America. These hotels were intrinsically and intimately involved with the German exodus to South America and the reshaping and restructuring of many lives, which were uprooted from destroyed Germany and re-established down there. Okay, now we're going to look at the Hotel California, not its real name, but it had a certain ring to it, so we're going to use that. This is another whopper. Now remember how big the Lao Lao Xiao Xiao is. It's huge, all right? Big. This hotel is of similar size in terms of the number of rooms, certainly the grounds, not architecturally, but it is a big place. Harry?
You're not kidding. And it's built right in the right in Mother Jungle, but we'll get to that part in a moment. Take a peek at D1. I couldn't figure out how to type D1 onto that, so I just smudged it on there. D1.
It's good enough. It's good enough.
Yeah. That is a scrapbook kept by a young girl who escaped Germany with her mother as the curtain fell on the Reich, and I held that book in my hand. It's big. It's about 8 inches high by 11 inches wide, roughly.
How big are the pages?
About 8 by 11.
Okay. Let me say one thing. That's a real period piece. That probably was purchased during the war years by a little girl or very shortly thereafter.
Right. I don't know if it was purchased or if she just put all the pages together. But this thing is thick. It's fat. It's heavy. I held it. The thing is heavy. And you'll notice how she made little drawings there on that page. And
that's
one
a good
of the drawings,
yeah,
she and her mother escaped, and there are drawings in that book of she and her mother, stick figures like you see in photo 2 here, nothing fancy. She was just a little kid.
Oh, before you go to photo 2, look at that.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Look at the scrapbook. Look carefully at how the pages are folded over. It's actually a double page folded over. You can see the folds.
Mm-hmm.
These are not individual pages bound in some kind of a binding. These are fold-over pages that are all put together. Very interesting construction on this. Could be a homemade album, you're right.
That's what it was. So,
okay, go ahead. All right,
okay.
That's fascinating.
And D2, that's one of the pictures she drew. And before I get to this, I was saying that she drew a picture of an airplane, just a real rudimentary airplane with some stick figures, and she put names under each one. One was her, one was her mother, and one was a guy named Carl Varnet. He was a Danish doctor who had the rank of, I forget what the rank is called, but it's similar to a major in the Waffen-SS. He did experimental surgeries with homosexual guys by transplanting monkey nuts into these guys to cure their homosexuality. I don't know if it worked or not, but he was on the airplane, and she did a little stick figure of a guard laying there in a pool of blood, and Varnet had a pistol in his hand. So read into that what you wish. So this is her drawing of the entry to this Hotel California, we call it. And then there in photo three, that's the exact same place she drew. Only the doorways are filled in now because they created a different doorway.
Okay, toggle back and forth between D2 and D3. Just look at D3 and understand that there are more archways that have been filled in there.
Yeah, further off to the left in D3.
Yeah, there you go. All right, now go back to D2. Look at the picture. Now, we think that the little girl might have been front and center in the orange?
Could be. Either that or off to the left. I'm not sure. I can't read it from here.
Now, look at the year. 1962. Now, what do you see in the background? Out one of the doorways, the arched doorways, come two people walking toward them. Obviously very happy to see them. They're waving. The little orange girl, if that's a girl, waving. They're waving. The one approaching them has both hands up in the air like she is elated to see them. This is a very interesting scene. I don't read German. I wish we could get a translation on that, but we don't have it.
I could translate it if I could see it, but my picture is too small for it.
Yeah. Well, there was a meeting at this Hotel California, which is, again, not on a busy thoroughfare, okay?
No. And it's surrounded on three sides by heavy, heavy jungle. I mean serious jungle down there.
All right. How many pictures of the hotel do we have? We got some good pictures, okay.
Now yeah, we can there's go, a bunch we, more. There are a bunch more on my website of this hotel.
We can skip past the next picture and come back to it if you want, of the older lady. Whatever you want to do.
Okay, we just look at we'll skip past the old lady on D4. Your listeners can look at D4 and commit that to memory, and we'll fill it in later.
There you go. Okay.
D5 is a horrible picture I had taken. That's me in a red shirt, Paco next to me, and the two people across the table from me. You click to D6. These are the two doctors that are very much in love.
Where's D5? You're in a cafe somewhere?
Yeah, we're in a cafe in that hotel, in the restaurant.
This
and D6
the
is
hotel is out in the middle of nowhere, and you were able
sure
to
is.
Sit down and have lunch. How yep. many other people were in the dining room?
There was one other couple. That was it. And they had hundreds of rooms in this place. I don't know how they could afford to keep it open.
Well, but, there must be a secret stash somewhere keeping it open.
Or maybe there's another reason. Who knows?
That's right. All right. Now, this couple, D6, good
D6,
friends of Harry's. Yeah.
They are the ones that did all this research. They have that scrapbook in their possession. They've done, we'll get to that toward the end of this series, but they've done incredible research. The fella is an eye surgeon and very successful, apparently. I've been to his place. He's got a two-story high penthouse on top of a very tall building in, where the hell is it? He's in a fair-sized city in Brazil, the southern part of Brazil. And he's got a real nice motorcycle and a car, a very nice car. And his girlfriend there, she is an OB-GYN. And by the time I see them again, they'll probably be married and living together. Very nice people. Very nice people. His English is excellent. She's still learning English. Me, I'm stuck because they are in Brazil. That's Portuguese. I don't have the slightest
idea.
That's a
tough one. Yeah. Now, that's in the Hotel California.
Yeah, that is correct.
Notice again the colors. I love the colors, the walls like this. Look at the brickwork. This hotel was built, Harry, what's your best projection?
Oh, quite a while
Late
before
30s?
The war.
Yeah,
and before
30s?
The war, I know. I don't know the exact time. I suppose right. I could find out. But
so once again, here we are thinking about the timing of these hotels. The Xiao Xiao was built in the 30s,
38.
Before the war broke out. This is clearly built before the war broke out. So there were plans to obviously set up a tremendous amount of transit, commerce, tourism, back and forth from Germany to this part of the world. These hotels were built for clearly a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. This hotel has a German name, and everything around it has German names. The towns are German names, the restaurants, the hotels, the bars, all with German names, out in the middle of the jungle.
Wow. Okay. D7.
Seven. This is just to show how this particular hotel wanders all over the place. There are several buildings on different levels because it's on a mountainside, and you go up and down stairs to the various different levels.
That is
beautiful. Well built, well maintained, beautiful place.
The architecture is really unique. Very nice. Look at that.
Beautiful.
I love archways like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the old Roman arch, right?
Yeah,
with the keystone at the top.
Should be there for a couple hundred more years, easy.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So, Harry, who would go to a place like this out in the middle of nowhere?
A doctor by the name of Mengele.
Mm-hmm.
This was his favorite headquarters, hideout, whatever you want to call it. Mengele.
D8 is the pool where Mengele swam, most likely.
I would imagine, yeah. And the part I've got circled in yellow, the doctor and I were walking along there, and I said, hey, this looks like a meeting room in here. And we found some windows where the drapes were not fully drawn, you could see in. It really was a meeting room. And so I went around to the doorway, found this nice lady. She doesn't speak English. I don't speak Portuguese or Brazilian or whatever the hell language. They're Castellano or Spanish in this place. Anyhow, with hand signals, I asked her to open the door. And so I went in, and here we are in this meeting room. It's still being used today. We talked to her, the doctor and I. He can speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And she told
that's
us...
D9 is the meeting
that's
room.
That's correct, yeah. Inside the meeting room, conference room, whatever. She told us that she did see Mengele there quite often. And who were the other? She saw Hitler there once or twice. And was it Bormann? Yeah, it was Bormann. She saw him there a couple of times. And Stroessner, who was the dictator of this country. Well, we gave it away there anyhow, didn't we? Anyhow,
sure, yeah.
She saw them all there. And she said sometimes they were singing. So I started singing some of the old German military songs. And she said, yeah, that's it. That's it. So
amazing.
Yep.
Who met in that room? What kind of people were involved with this hotel? And the location, again, rather easy to guard. It's out the middle of nowhere, and no doubt they had high-level security for back then, clearly.
Oh, yeah, we're coming to that part of it shortly.
This amazing. Look at that room. If that room could talk. The woman, the waitress you talked to, an older lady, had been there for 50 years. Or something.
Long time. Yep.
And when she said that she saw Hitler there, and Bormann, and Mengele, and so forth, how did she approach that? How was she hesitant at all, or was this matter of fact? Yeah, I saw Hitler.
Oh,
here.
No, we asked her. We asked her questions.
How did she answer? Was she timid? Was she just? Or she said, "Yeah, I saw him." How was it?
Just straight, normal, forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Not excited. Not timid. Just. You know, what's the weather like today? I think it'll rain.
Amazing. No reason for her to lie. That's the point.
No.
None.
Living way out there. Nice lady. Food was good, too. I had chicken breast.
Well, think about it. One other guy, one single person in the entire dining room in that cafe, and you and the doctor, and it's good. Well, the four of you, five people, and the chef is back in the, thank God I get to cook something. Huh? He's all day long waiting for someone to show up there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it could be. And the, no, it was another couple, not just one other person. It was another couple, younger people, probably in their late 20s, early 30s.
So six people. How many of it?
Yeah, the guy spoke perfect English. I asked, was he from the States? Oh, no. He said, I just studied English in school.
How many people could be seated in that particular cafe you were in?
Probably 40, 50 at that time.
And this dining area was one, the conference room we're looking at clearly could have been set up for large banquets as well. They must have an enormous kitchen there somewhere.
Yep.
Wow. And look at the arch theme again on the wall, carried through with bricks. Beautiful stonework.
Yeah, lots of arches in that place.
And the chairs, they look vintage to me. They might be quite old. Hard to tell. Extra chairs
question.
Against the wall. There's a big, looks like a whiteboard up there on an easel stand.
Yeah, no,
or something.
It's not a whiteboard. It's a film screen.
Oh.
Or maybe
imagine
it's a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's a film screen.
It could serve both purposes.
Yeah.
Okay. D101. Whoops. D10. Just kidding.
D10. Oh, yeah, that one behind it, that's just a chink in the bricks. I took this to show that this really is in Mother Jungle. After the Mossad had their successful kidnapping of Eichmann down in Buenos Aires, I guess, I don't know for sure, but I guess they probably felt flushed with victory, and they came here to grab Mengele. But the owner of the hotel, then maybe that's why these entries are bricked up now and they have a more controlled entry to the place. But anyhow, as the Mossad people were coming into the compound, the owner of the hotel was physically shoving Mengele out the window of his room in just his underwear into the jungle. And the six Mossad guys, from what they tell me there at this hotel, wound up with their throats slashed and were dumped out in the jungle right outside.
I don't want names. Who told you this story?
One of the people down there at this little hotel.
Okay. Somebody
that
who
old
was
lady.
There and had been there for a while. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That little old lady.
Well, thank God for little old ladies, huh? One heard the plane land. One is at this hotel. Look at D11. Look at that.
Yeah.
What is
like
that up on the top? What is that up on the top?
It's
a guardhouse.
Yeah.
It's a lookout. Thank you. Of course it
is. One hotel's got a 60-meter tall lookout tower. This one's got a guard shack on the top. Don't you find lookout towers at the hotels you go to?
I have one here at home.
Okay, well, maybe you're hiding Mengele there.
Oh, no, he's gone.
Yeah, he's been dead for some time now.
Oh, we may end up with another connection here. All right, onward. Let's see.
Yeah, that's the eye doctor there, his back to us. But anyhow, I felt I should circle that lookout tower.
You
so
betcha.
Now, number 26, D12, room number 26.
Yeah.
The sign says it all. I figured out how to use my computer here. Mengele's single room. He had two rooms that were his favorites. When he was by himself, the lady told us this. He always got room 26. It was a single room. Mm-hmm. And if he came with, and that's the room I think they shoved him out the window because he was by himself. But then you look at D13, that's a separate little bungalow kind of thing. And the room I've circled there, that's room number 28, which you see in D14. That was Mengele's larger room when he came with other people, I assume, security, bodyguards, etc. And D15 and 16 are the interior of room 28. Now, whether those are the same beds, probably not. Maybe the same bed frames, but I'm hoping they change the mattresses. Although,
well,
I don't know.
The frames on the left look, you know, 40s, 50s, old.
Could be. Could be.
We don't want the location of this known, obviously, for obvious reasons. But how many, this is another, like an Eden Hotel thing. It's hours away. It's a real hassle to get to. I just want to make this point. This is a real isolated location.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is way out in the middle of nowhere. And you have to really want to go there. And even so, my guides there, Dr. Franco, he was driving the truck. We had a nice truck. We rented a brand new Volkswagen four-door pickup truck, a big one, a half ton, or was it three-quarter? I don't know what. But the roads in that country are just so incredibly horrible. Mm-hmm.
You had headaches or something from the bouncing, I think.
No, my back.
Your back, that's what it was.
Yeah, because it had only been some months, I guess, after I had broken my back. And I was in the back seat of this pickup truck with heavy suspensions, you know. It rode like a truck. Just beat the hell out of my back. Okay, time to sell some Allison C.
We have wonderful products for our people, and we don't have a whole lot of them, but every one of them is for something special. Every one of them works magnificently. We did a program two nights ago about C60. I want to tell you again about the Bio Superfood product. It's a life changer. Harry takes it. Allison C.
A couple of years ago, we were in Germany, and one of our guys was feeling kind of poorly, and another fella had some Allison C, took that, and he bounced right back.
Yeah, there you go. We have great things, so please pay attention to the sponsors and support them. They support this program, and we'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. So, we are on the fourth series of pictures, the Hotel California, and we are at the last picture now. It's a picture of a pretty young lady. Hard to tell how old she is, maybe 10, I'm guessing. I don't know.
That's a good guess, 9, 10.
Yeah, and now I think you should go back and look at the D4 picture.
Yep, the old lady.
The older lady. And look carefully at the face, look at the eyes, look at the nose, which is certainly, noses keep growing, but look at the mouth. And now go back to the other little girl. See the wide mouth, see the eyes. All right, Harry, tell us more.
Same person. Same person, and this is where two threads of evidence are parallel and they come together at the same point. This has all been heavily researched by the two doctors. This was whole did not die. That picture is not really the Goebbels kids. Look at the legs. They're all mal-shaped because the kids were malnourished, probably taken out of camps or something. But when the Reich collapsed, Magda Goebbels took her daughter Holdeen and fled to their, they had a plantation in Bolivia. I forget what it was. Sugar comes to mind. I don't have my files in front of me on that, but at the
so
same
that's,
time.
So that's Joseph Goebbels' wife's, that's her daughter, Magda. Understand that. But Joseph was not the father.
Of Holdeen, that's correct. That was Hitler fathered her.
That is Adolf Hitler's daughter by Joseph Goebbels' wife.
Yeah, love child, I guess you'd call him. And she's the one who made that big booklet, that big scrapbook you see in chapter in photo D1. She's the one who drew the picture in D2. And so much other place. We went to a place in, I forget, Uruguay or Paraguay or Brazil or something, where she had drawn an aerial photo of a farm. And we went to the farm, and it was absolutely correct, down to the clump of trees and the marshy area where a large chest had been buried that her mother had buried. And how does this little kid get an aerial photo of the place? This was at a time when Hanna Reich, the great German aviatrix, had been traveling down in South America, and she took Holdeen up for a ride and circled the ranch or the farm, and Holdeen sketched the picture. I saw the picture. We followed the picture to get to this farm. And
does it say in the scrapbook that something was buried there? Is that what the
implication
is here?
Yeah, it said that, and it also, you know, typical X marks the spot.
Right. And oh, we like
so
those kind of stories.
the Lost Dutchman mine, right? On my website, sharkhunters.com, under previous tours, you go there and you find the one for South America in 2016 or 17, I forget which. You'll see a ton of photos of this whole area. More photos of stuff in that scrapbook. Just knits the whole works together. And now this has all been borne out by the two doctors. The way they got involved, Holdeen and Magda apparently had a falling out. It's all in the stuff that the doctor wrote. And the mother died in a suspicious fire. Holdeen wound up in poverty, living in a shack with dogs and cats, and she needed some medical care, and she went to the clinic that this lady doctor ran, Christiane, and that's how Christiane found out who this woman was, Holdeen Goebbels. And so between her and the male doctor, the eye doctor, Franco, they got Holdeen all cleaned up, got her some clothes, and he gave her a room in his penthouse. And they helped take care of her until she finally died. They took care of her burial. She's buried there in their town. And they got the whole story from her. And everything she told him that they told me is exactly paralleled from what this guy we call Michael told about his life. Because when he was a kid, his mother and Magda Goebbels were buddies. He knew Holdeen. He knew the family. And so when the Reich collapsed, his mother took him and went to their coffee plantation in Bolivia. And they kept in contact. His mother and Magda were trying to get him and Holdeen romantically inclined, for obvious reasons, you know, to keep the old bloodlines together. But he told me when we were talking, he says she was really a beast, and which is not politically correct, but so be it. Apparently, Dr. Varnett had been doing some experiments with her, too. And so she was pretty masculine. I don't know what was going on, but anyhow, he told the same story, and it paralleled exactly what she had told the doctors.
Wow.
Doesn't get much better than that. So
no. So Michael told you, you talked to the doctors, and you had a link.
Absolutely. Parallel.
Wow.
Parallel.
Unreal.
But, yeah. I'll
so
be
that's,
seeing
that's that
again.
You're looking, that old lady,
yep,
elderly woman, is Adolf Hitler's daughter by Joseph Goebbels' wife, Magda. And
yep.
If you look carefully in the face, you'll see some similarities. It's tricky. Now, you're suggesting that that Adolf Hitler's daughter would be experimented upon? This must have been long after the war or something.
Oh, yeah. Once they were down in Bolivia.
Got it.
And I don't know who signed off on it or if anybody signed off on it, because Hitler was living way in southern Argentina, and these people were up in the area of where Brazil and Argentina come together and in that area.
Did Holdeen tell the doctor, did she mention whether or not she had seen her father?
I don't know. It never came up. I never thought to ask. And I'm having a little communications problem right now. I haven't gotten replies to my emails from the doctors, and so last week I called him. Good luck trying to call to some rinky-dink town in Brazil. But I finally got a hold of him, and he said he was just having a lot of troubles, and that's why I hadn't heard from him, and he had to get back to a patient. So,
he wasn't brushing you off. He's just having troubles.
I guess. Yes.
When did Holdeen pass?
I don't know. I'd have to find out from him, I guess.
I would ask him if she ever she would mention if her dad had seen her or she had been taken to see her father. I don't.
Yeah, you would think so, because they were in Bolivia.
Yeah.
And in January of 62, a procession of important people in cars came to the plantation that Michael's mother owned, and there was a guy, what the heck was his name? It'll come to me 5 minutes after I get off the phone.
So Michael's mother and Magda both owned plantations in Bolivia? Is that what we're saying here?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And there was a guy living on that, an SS officer living on the plantation that Michael's mother owned. I'll think about it 5 minutes after we're off the air. Duh.
Right.
And anyhow, so this procession of cars came up there, and Hitler
this
was
1962.
This 1962 January, and Hitler was in one of the cars, and Michael's mother told him to visit with Hitler for a bit because she said he doesn't look like he's going to last much longer. And according to Michael, Hitler died on 13th of February, 1962, a month after he saw him.
So Michael did spend some time with him. Why did Hitler come to see this friend of Magda Goebbels on her ranch, whatever?
No, he came to see the guy on Michael's mother's plantation.
What the SS
guy. Name? Yeah. He had I can't remember his name. And I know Michael and his contact that I have are listening to this right now and are thinking, Harry, what an idiot. We told you this guy's name. He had a pet sloth that he carried around with him all the time.
Huh.
And so Also,
well, let's hope. Now, when I said earlier I was joking about getting hold of Michael and shaking him, I just think this is an incredibly important story, which you would be happy to publish on his behalf.
Yeah.
I would help. And
sure.
I hope, Michael, that you are listening, and I hope you will bring this information forward.
We're not going to shake you. We're not going to beat you up.
Oh, we're just kidding. It's just frustrating to have such a gold mine of invaluable information that hopefully you'll want to share with all those who care. And I think watching the world as it is now, being drowned in lies and revisionist malarkey about history, to have something, even if you publish it or allow it to be published under an alias, we will do it with the absolute best in professionalism. You can count on that. Nobody needs to know where you are. Nobody needs to know anything. But
he knows I'm honest, and I'll keep my word.
Oh, absolutely. We do really beseech you to put your story down in writing. So we have.
Yeah, because if you die with it in your head, then you've stolen history from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But anyhow, this guy whose name I can't remember was carrying.
Well, another thing, just for the record. Harry, when Harry and I have talked about you, it has always been at the highest level of respect. I just want you to know that.
No, that's true. He's a good guy.
You bet.
And so, anyhow, this guy whose name I can't remember, he had a romance going with some Austrian countess. I can't remember her name either, but you wouldn't believe my archive here. It looks like an explosion in the public library.
I don't know how you do what you do. More knowledge of World War II and the aftermath than anybody on the planet. You've aggregated all of this information. You have it in your mind. It when you're a member of Shark Hunters, you get access to this kind of material. And there are more books in the works. We should mention that Harry is going down to South America in November, and you, all of you, are welcome to go along. It doesn't cost as much as you think. You just need to get a deposit from you. Get on the list, and you will go, and you will walk through some of the most amazing history, including, the projection is, to spend a full day and maybe a night at Inalco. That's Eva Braun and Adolf Hitler's residence for 10 years on that beautiful lake in Bariloche.
Yep. We're also going to, in September, we're going to Germany and Austria to some of the famous historic places over there, too. That information is on my website also. So, you know, we have room, and anybody wants to go with us, most welcome. All the details are on the website. If you need more questions answered, just email me, sharkhunters@earthlink.net, or call at 352-637-2917.
One more time.
352-637-2917.
I also want to mention that. Go ahead. I'll finish.
Email sharkhunters@earthlink.net.
Very good. Before we run out of time, that huge scrapbook that old lady, the elderly lady, Holdene Goebbels, Adolf Hitler's daughter by Magda Goebbels, was apparently translated into at least partial English and published somewhere, was it not? Or was it not translated and just published? It's still in the original German.
The doctors put together a book that they asked me to help them get published, which I'd love to do, except like I told him, the book is 1,400 pages long. Who the hell reads a 1,400 page long book? That's the Manhattan phone book, for God's sake.
You do volume one, you do volume two, you do volume three, whatever. But the most important thing is the German writing, Holdene's writing, would be translated so people can understand what she wrote.
This is a
remarkable piece of history, that book.
Oh, it is. It's priceless, for God's sake. It's a time tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at Holdeen looking at that camera. Look at that resolve. Look at that. She was a tough one. You can tell.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think so. That's
See, Michael,
what
we
said.
We understand why you weren't attracted. Okay. Nothing to say against Holdeen, but she's tough. Yeah.
Well, yeah, she's tough, and he was gay. So.
Well,
yeah, he's gay and she's masculine, so that ain't gonna work.
Didn't work.
I never met her, but I did meet him. He's a fine man.
Yeah. No, there are so many people who are gay now. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I really don't care.
No, I judge people on who they are. I always have.
Right.
That makes no difference to me what they want to do. Looking at that Mengele's single bedroom door 26. Look at those
26.
Doors. I really like architecture a lot, and that door.
More arches
is
again.
The door is neat too. Look at that door. I love.
Yeah. It's right on the edge of the jungle, so there's plenty of wood down there to put to use.
Yeah. Anything new on Inalco? The Adolf Hitler Eva Braun estate for 10 years before they had to move north?
No, it's nobody's lived in the place since Hitler and Eva Braun moved out 1955 when Peron got knocked out of power and they lost their protection. But for years it had been on the market for $40 million. Because it not only has that building and several outbuildings, but about 500-600 meters away, there's a farm complex and a huge amount of property. I forgot what 450 hectares, whatever a hectare is, I don't know. But then about 5, 6, 7 years ago, some wealthy soybean farmer from the north part of Argentina, Cordoba province, I believe it was, he had the place bought for $23 million and was going to build a high buck resort hotel right there. Whether he was going to build it next to the home or tear down the home and build it there, I don't know. But
God forbid.
Yeah, you're not kidding. But for whatever reason, the government stepped in and squashed the sale. So it's still for sale for 20-something million U.S. dollars. But on the 4th of June, I believe it was, or the 6th of June, 2011, a volcano in Chile blew up and put 2 or 3 inches of ash all over everything in that area.
And it needs to be cleaned.
And they never cleaned it. So you've had all this volcanic ash, which is heavily acidic, sitting on this house for all these years. The beautiful green lawn is no more. They had a green lawn running right down to the sandy beach. Now there's a big berm, about a 3-foot drop-off, where they pushed all that ash. The house was covered with it.
It's all doable. Sure. Things.
All it takes is money.
That's right. And hard work. 450 hectares is around 1,100 acres.
Yeah, the hard work is not a problem because if, by some miracle I won the lottery or something and we bought the place, I don't think I'd have any shortage of volunteers from shark hunters. Yeah, plumbers, electricians, woodworkers, everything. They'd be down there.
I'd get out there and I'd pressure wash that house on the outside, start treating the wood properly.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fixable.
Put the window boxes back together because they're falling off the place and it's criminal
doable.
The way they've let it fall apart. Yeah, it's doable, sure.
Harry and I have done programs on Inalco with pictures, which you can see going to sharkhunters.com. It's all there. We've done many programs.
Lots of it.
That whole thing. Okay, so to remind everyone, Harry is going down in November, and you can go to Argentina and to Inalco and Bariloche. You can see Xiao Xiao. You can see the whole thing. There's a lot to see. Or you can go to Germany on the Southern Patrol. That's coming up this fall as well.
That's right. And we go places in Germany where the average person cannot go.
Right.
For instance, that big stadium where Hitler used to stand to make his speeches there at Zeppelinfeld. Anybody can go there, and we do. And we each take turns standing where he stood, take our picture. You keep your arm down, because if you put your arm up, you're in trouble. But inside that stadium, it's the famous Golden Room, and we go in there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, this has been an historic program, wrapping these four hotels into one broadcast with all the pictures and the remarkable explanations that you offered. Thank you on behalf of everyone. And Michael, if you're listening, maybe one day you might want to come on the program here too. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Always.
I'll pick up the tab for the first Christmas chili that I share with him.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a special man, and we love to work with him in any way.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Harry, go look at the inside of your eyelids. Thank you for this. It's been a memorable and just fascinating walk through some extraordinary history. Thank you, my friend.
I love living it.
Yep, every day. Keep at it. Okay, take care. Get some
sleep.
All
right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, there's our photo journey into the past. You'll hear this nowhere else in the world unless you hear Harry Cooper.